Well, lots of messages and lots of comments coming from the panel and so on. But we go to the telephone lines at this time, 8 minutes after noon. Good afternoon and welcome.
Good afternoon, Corey. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. And you?
I'm good, man. Listen, I'm loving what I'm hearing. Loving it. All right? And I 110 support this looking back and reviewing of what was just 2 months ago. Man, we in a good place as a country. It's tough, but we're in a good place. That 30 to nothing has sent a message. And you better believe that the current administration is listening. But I also want to say quickly also that programs like this will give the current administration something to keep listening to and keep understanding how people feel. On the ground, when I go out there from day to day, people welcome the fresh air of change, the breeze that's blowing, but at the same time, they're still hurting. And we've got 30 people, not 30 people, but we've got an administration that's gone off the scene, right, the past administration. And I really, you know, I've heard like little comments being made in the media where somebody saying, you know, the Reverend Fella Durant, tell the people we sorry. Oh, my gosh, listen, it's so much more than sorry that Barbados needs from the DLP. You understand? There's a number of things on my mind, so bear with me as I just articulate them, right? But when the person that was saying that, you know, it's time to move on, you got to have fuel to move on with, right? And the fuel that we'll move on with is an understanding and a passion to rebuild as much as the rebuilding is needed. I understand the government is saying all hands are on board. Great. I'm on board with the government. But you know what? The government got to show that they mean business in terms of resolving. Remember, there was like a truth commission in South Africa when the ANC came to power. Mm-hmm. Now, I ain't talking about no political show to appease people. I'm talking about real deep dealing and searching and evaluating. Yes, they've come out and said, look, we come and find things bad, but we want to know, as Arthur Lee said, who is going to be held accountable. You understand? So Beijing's memory ain't short no more. We're moving forward and taking ownership. The youth, you'll be glad to know the young people in the studio there, I commend you all, but there's some other youth here so in this nation, and I'm among them. I'm in my 50s. But I am of the Caleb and Joshua generation, who haven't aged and are still ready to go up and take the mountain. You understand? So age isn't only biological or chronological. But it's people whose dreams are still alive within them and who've endured the past, how much years is it since 1966, when promises were made in terms of taking hold of independence and saying that we can go forward and, you know, chart our own path independently, and we are no longer a colony. All right? I want those youth in the studio to know that they are youth in this nation, people whose dreams are still alive in them in their 50s and beyond that. All right? Because our leaders, for many years, they've done reasonably well at times, but in the last years of the Beads, there weren't anything great to talk about. And the victory that they won the other day wasn't a victory that they won. It was a default handing over to the country, to them, because we were so disenchanted, so disillusioned, and so fed up and betrayed by the Democratic Labour Party. So they're lucky if they don't come out to the desert before another 40 years.
All right. Thank you very much, sir. This is Brass Stars, brought to you in association with Williams Industries Incorporated.
Now is the time for you to fence your property with galvanized green, white, or brown chain link fencing and our brown band galvanized pole pipes, which are the longest lasting. We will give you a free estimate too on all your fencing materials.
So building supplies, big or small, and Brilliant Metals, we have it all. And Brilliant Metals, we have it all.
visit their website at www.williamsmetals.be.
So many things came out of all the comments. I don't even know where to start. I want to look at something I think Crystal mentioned in terms of the union and all these various things against the government and so on. There was a breaking down of relationships with the last administration on so many fronts. As I mentioned, it was the media, the private sector, the unions and so on. What do you believe that they could have done differently? Because I believe as politicians, you should be able to negotiate, you should be able to, you know, kind of like mend fences when necessary for your own betterment and for your own facilitation of doing better for the country. But it never seemed as though that happened. It seemed like there was a lot of doubling down. And where do you think that they could have gone a little different, a different direction or so on for their betterment?
As it relates to communication?
Mm.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, communication in the 21st century is all about collaboration. And we saw a lot of instances where, for example, the increase in the NSRL was done and there was no consultation with key stakeholders that were impacted. Simple things like that speak to a culture as or a stance as it relates to the importance of communication. And I've heard persons say things like, you know, if I had to choose between spending on PR or spending on investing in some business or operational need, that I would put the money more so in the operational side and forsake the public relations, but the two must go hand in hand. So I do see it as a wonderful breath of fresh air that we're getting a lot of these press conferences now being streamed live on social media from as far as Jamaica, that you can stay in tune with what is being said and understand the position and the stance. Even the situation with the turtles the other day, and the different voices that were given the opportunity to articulate their view on the matter and why they were all in solidarity as it pertains to that issue, speaks to a different approach to communication that, I mean, all current leaders and aspiring leaders can take a note from. You need to collaborate, and that is where I think a lot of their mistakes came, where you had this heavy-handed, Bigfoot type of approach to making decisions and implementing solutions. There was also the case where they had good news and they didn't share the good news effectively, so that even when there was a time for you to cheer and celebrate the things that they were doing, whatever they were, I would say perhaps tourism was the only thing that they could really have shouted about. There wasn't that much of
But what about their argument? Their side of the argument was that the media was not giving prominence to the good news, but giving serious prominence to the bad news.
I would not say that is true at all, because during the last government, I would have worked closely with a couple of state agencies, and early in the tenure of my company with that state agency, we would have looked at who were the main dissenting voices. And this is basic PR. You look at who are your biggest detractors, and you try to find a way to win them over.
Right, correct,
and I could tell you, without calling names, that when you look at the coverage that they give of said agencies prior to our coming on board, and then compare it to the tone after, you know, we won them over. And it's not about buying anybody or, you know, kickbacks or anything like that. It's just basic collaboration, bringing people in the fold, letting them see this is the direction that we're taking. These are the reasons.
Even if you don't do it yourself, you get professionals at agencies that yours to do that.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, I understand we have Simon Allen on the line. He's known as the 31st candidate of the Democratic Labour Party. Good morning and welcome. Good afternoon and welcome, Simon.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Corleone. What's up? How are you doing? Good afternoon to the panel.
Hi, Simon.
So refreshing to hear these young voices on the air. And, of course, let me go back. The election defeat was really a wake-up call to my party, for sure. Clearly, the message that we had given the public was not the message that they needed. And I think that the approach, when we approach elections, maybe we overlook some stuff. But the good thing now is that we have to move forward and rebuild. And to me, that's the most exciting prospect coming out of this historic loss of the Democratic Labour Party. Now is the time to rebuild. Now is the time to go forward. New faces, a new strategy, and rebranding altogether. And I think that is necessary because at the end of the day, when I walk the street, people are still saying, you know what? We are glad for this new administration, but we recognize that we need a strong and vibrant opposition. And I think it starts there.
All right. Now that we're talking about the increase in women and youth and the value that they bring to the political process, off air, my producer and I were discussing really, we remember back in the year when we had David Thompson being appointed, that was the whole idea, the youth being brought to the fore and so on. And, and immediately after his passing, we went way back. You know, back into time, you know, kind of thing. And I don't believe that we would have seen the whole value of youth. Do you think that the party have learned a lesson even there? And before you even go far, one of the things I know that brought a lot of disenchantment within the youth ranks, within your own party, you had persons like Marsha Hines Lane and so on. They had something called the Youth Rally and all. They actually championed in 2008 the Youth Manifesto, and they brought something very similar to what happened now, but on a smaller scale. And then after the election, they were all sidelined. Does your party really now learn and understand the value of youth? And
I think, of course, it has to. Youth represents the future. But one of the things, too, that is always important with regards to having a youth voice, you still need to have the right youth. Because I am all for youth involvement in politics, but we need young people to have the requisite skills and understanding to do things not only within the party, but at the national level and to assist in government. I think with regards to the whole aspect of women involved in politics, the Democratic Labour Party has a good record of women being in politics, so I don't even debate that. The fact that we would have had, we've appointed the second time another female Governor General, and the fact that we also had with regards to the Senate, we had Kerri-Ann Ifill as well being another female there. So with regards to women's involvement in politics, I think the DLP has a good track record. But the problem really was that...
So I might not have the statistics, but I don't think the statistics argue well for the DLP in terms of candidates and so on. Yes, you had the one-off achievement. We've seen the Governor Generals. We've seen even the DPP. We've seen the President of the Senate and so on. Some very iconic, but still could be seen as almost tokenistic in terms of persons actually in decision-making roles and actually being given that opportunity to we won't see what's happening now with the... DLP with the BLP, female prime minister, lots of women in parliament.
True.
When you had the Billy Millers, the Liz Thompsons, the Mia Mollys, and it goes on.
Who ran and won their seats? That's correct, because we have female candidates that contested, but not all were successful in securing the seats. But
the number of the panelists here, they want to, they're all geared up and chomping at the bit
to ask you a question
and so on. So I'll hand over to them. Yeah, go ahead.
You know, Simon, you know, who is this person
that's talking to me? This is Kimar
Stewart.
Oh, Kimar Stewart. Oh, I see.
My thing is, Simon, though, you're talking about the youth and thing, and I remember having a number of events and asking for youth representation from the Democratic Labour Party, and to my knowledge, successfully none came.
You're sure about that? Did you send the email to the right email address?
Well, I have so much email address and none of them bunk, so I don't know which is the right. Right? Probably all they went far left. But at the end of the day, you're talking about youth and the Democratic Labour Party building this platform on youth. And really and truly, you were probably one of the quote-unquote youngest persons we knew within the championing for the Democratic Labour Party. And you're talking about now, if the Democratic Labour Party is to come back out, how do we, or what guarantor is there that we will see this young, vibrant group coming back up when you have a press conference only a couple weeks ago with the four persons that ran in election looking like if they're coming back out as the next leadership group or as the next, what we would say, savior of the Democratic Labour Party. Mm, so then this going to say, you're talking about rebranding, you're talking about this new
That's
group.
That's right.
And we are seeing that this group, you know, is operating, and we are hearing some people on the ground saying certain people coming back. And how then are you or your party going to move to get this old guard out to bring in this fresh limelight into the political scene?
I think that's a very good question. The thing about it is that leadership is something that can be thrust upon you. Leadership is something that you must desire as a young person. And going back to what you said earlier about you were trying to contact some of the younger people within the Democrat Labour Party, you were unsuccessful. The thing about it is that people have to see that they have something to offer. I believe I have something to offer. That's why I've always been assisting with my party. Now, going forward, obviously, what we have to do within our party, of course.
But sir, not across you, but they contacted the general secretary as well, who never sent a body. So just letting you know that.
I think you had the wrong number, you know. I think you had the wrong number. I think so. You're right. I think so.
You got to get here right once, man.
I want it, no.
It's 23 right, minutes past me, so let's keep. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No matter what we're saying, what is going to happen now, obviously, at the branch level, and then when we have our annual conference, there will be some changes. All right? And it's okay to say that you want radical change, you want cut off the head and do this and that. But change sometimes comes incrementally. Or sometimes, in some cases, it may be drastic. But I can't speak to that because we have to see the tone of our meetings, how our meetings go with regards to the AGM and how the new executive will be chosen.
Well, we saw a drastic change on May the 24th. So I think that's with any DLP, it's no longer okay to say you guys need incremental change because Beijing says it's time for drastic change. So perhaps
Agreed.
You guys should perhaps take a note. But so I might want to say something. There's a difference between youth and women being involved in a party and youth and women being genuinely incorporated into a party. Women have always been involved in parties, but for a large extent, a large percentage of them have stayed in the background. So they are part of your branch. They do the secretarial stuff. They are the ones that seek to kind of mother, make sure that the parliamentarians are fed, make sure that the parties run to a specific way, because women have been kind of set in a path that places them as caretakers within the party. So when we speak to women and children being involved or youth being involved, it's not to tick a box. And perhaps that is the concern, because if you are going to place a female attorney DPP and you're going to have a female governor general, then how is it that while you empower women, you then stand on a platform and demolish them, not based on their ability to lead or based on their ability to take public office, but you demolish them based on their femininity, them being a woman? You delve into their personal life to cut them down. So then what you give us is something that says that you are doing one thing, but in the same time your philosophy appears another way. And if it was simply a one-off thing where one person stood and said something, then perhaps you could say, well, all right, this is a personal issue, that's a you problem. But when you have an entire launch simply based on the demolition where a person said we're going to explain a political leader, and in explaining her, you demolish and assassinate her as a woman, then perhaps it is important that the party does not only introspection as it relates to the party structure, but to the philosophy as it relates to women and to the real philosophy. I'm not talking about the philosophy like we put a woman here to say, yeah,
no,
we got a woman
exactly.
here.
I totally agree with you, and that approach failed miserably, and we will never go down that road again. I would never want to be a part of that ever again. Any kind of demolition of or character assassination of a person on a political platform. However, we know that politics is not Sunday school, but I do believe, and I agree with you, that there's no need to go into people's personal lives or try to attack people.
So, Simon?
Yes, please.
In that instance, as a future leader of this country, you should have had the testicular fortitude to stand and say, well, you know, guys, as my party, this is not acceptable, and you all will not stand on a platform and demolish our character, assassinate anybody, male or female. You know, I have to stand here and be that man that is seen as possibly a prime minister, because if you win your seat, Simon, any of the 30, you are seen as a possible prime minister. So
that's
I think
right.
that should be a learning experience for you.
Of course.
And a learning experience
course.
For many other younger people in the party and anybody who else Correct. Is looking on to say, well, as we still mentioned, a best practice of what not to do. I also
agree.
Think even when you elect a new executive, the idea of puppet pulling and string pulling you need to take a look at that also, because persons in that space that are young, this is from my perspective, like also when you're young and you come into the fray, the older people tend to want to, you know, it's good to accept counsel influence and guidance, but they try to influence
correct
the way of thinking and try to push you down a line which is not conducive to what you believe in or what you can do. Things have changed significantly, and they think that the older folk have to take a capacity of shepherding and guiding people to achieving their own, you know, strong points.
Okay, Simon, don't you move. The music tells us it's time to take the latest from the Starcom Network News. When we come back, we look and continue to look at the Barbados General Election 2018, a youth review. So don't you move.
Get all your lumber needs from us. We have number one treated pine, all different types of plywood, V-joint, siding board, and concrete board. In addition, we have grade 3 2x4s and form play for boxing.
Visit their website at www.williamsmetals.bb.
Okay, it's just gone, 24 minutes before 1 o'clock. Remember, we finish at quarter after 1. This is Brass Tack Sunday in association with Williams Industries Incorporated. We got former candidate of the Solutions Barbados, Kemar Stewart. We have Crystal Austin, who ran for the United Progressive Party. We have Kemar Safri from Vote Barbados. We have Travis from the Easy President of the United Leaders, Youth Leaders of Barbados, and Roshana Trim of Many, Many Hats. One head, many hats. We have Simon Allen on the line. And probably before the 31st candidate of the Barbados Labour Party. That's your official title now, Simon. But before we went to the news, young Stewart was giving you some advice. I'll let you respond to that. And then I'll take some WhatsApp messages, and then we go to the telephone lines.
No, I agree with what Kemar is saying with regards to understanding where you went wrong, admitting if you would have fallen short, and then moving forward. And it's important that even as the Democratic Labour Party looks to rebuild, introspection, as Crystal mentioned, is important. And, of course, making sure that you put measures in place not to go down that road again. Because at the end of the day, a political party must always seem as an option to the public. And I think that coming out of this election, we saw that the people, Barbadians, did not necessarily identify with the values or necessarily identify with the whole platform of our campaign during the election. So clearly, we need to review. We got to take stock of ourselves, and we got to come back better and stronger and at least offer ourselves as an alternate party to the people of Barbados.
Apply for the presidency of the party, Simon, you know, then we could talk then, maybe.
I have expressed an interest in running as one of the vice presidents of the Democratic Labour Party, so we will see how that goes. But definitely, we need to rebrand and renew the Democratic Labour Party to be a viable option to the people of Barbados. And I think that one of the messages that came out, too, during the election on the Barbados Labour Party side was the whole thing about willing to serve. And service is important. And people need to, and people feel good when they know that a political party is saying that, you know what, we want to serve, we want to help you, we want to represent you. And I think that the Democratic Labour Party still has a lot to offer. But of course, we need to do our own internal housekeeping and house cleaning.
Well, Simon, I want to wish you all the best in that. And I offer this entire panel to you to assist you. Okay? That's my gift to you.
Yeah, I know Crystal,
including Corey,
for example. Crystal has so much knowledge, and, you know, I think that she would look so good in a yellow shirt. That's just my opinion. Is that correct, Crystal?
I had all yellow outfit yesterday.
All right, you take some WhatsApps and then go over to the lines. And the panelists, I encourage you to just take some notes, because some of these things speak directly to questions or comments to you. This one says, this is my little piece I put together before the program even started. Barbados has been hit already by one of the worst, and the crew of the people waited patiently for the 24th of May and spoke. This one said, Kimar Stewart, this was in relation to you. It said you were captured on a stream as referring to Miss Motley as the infamous Miss Mia Motley. Therefore, the resentment from the BLP supporters should have been expected by yourself. This one says, hello, a few thoughts. In 2008, the DLP rode into power emphasizing arrogance, squandermania, etc. on the part of the then government as the main reason they should be voted out. They came into power and fell into the same trap most politicians do. Now we have an intelligent government who understands marketing, image, branding, and respect influencers regarding of who they are or what genre of music they sing. Obama had Jay-Z and Beyonce tag on his campaign for a reason. They understand the science of social media and the reality that over 70% of Barbadians use mobile devices, etc. They understand most importantly that genuine connectivity to the masses is a critical component of political success. Anyone who forgets that will not enjoy a long political career. Youth, more now than ever, must be vigilant and continue to demand high standards from those elected and that programs are implemented to aid them in competing in the new world and its digital environment. The only reason we have seen this new type of politics where people become centered focus is Barbadians grew vocally weary of arrogance. Incompetence we will allow, but arrogance in office is a cardinal sin. I'll try to take in a couple more. It says the real reason why the DLP lost the election was largely because of allegations of corruption. Y'all can console yourself and add many different reasons as you like, but none of you will be successful until you acknowledge that fact. Maybe this is a case of thought spinning in mud, and those people who are offering themselves as the future are not sincere enough to be honest with themselves. Says, hi Corey, it is obvious that one of the major parties had lots of money to spend. I would say that for every dollar spent by the DLP spent no more than 5 cents. Whoa, that's a lot. Let's go to the lines and then we get some reaction from the panel. Good afternoon and welcome. This is Brass Tax Sunday. You are on the air. Good afternoon and welcome.
Hello.
Hi, good afternoon. You're on the air.
Yeah, you're speaking to me now.
Yes, sir.
The young lady that is in there with you, is she the young lady who was on Kurt Humphrey's platform speaking?
Yes, she is.
Oh, dear. I know her voice is better. They said you sound like her. I want to compliment you. I want to compliment you because I remember they turned on and they said, you know, I never in my whole life, to be quite honest, I'm in my 50s. No, but I never really like follow politics or anything like that. But because, not follow it, I follow it, but I never went to meetings, is what I really mean. Mm-hmm. But because it was on social media, I was able to tune in. And I remember the first meeting I actually tuned into was one of his, and I saw this young lady on the platform. I think you even said that you were not into the politics, like, in that way or something, but he encouraged you, and I think you did an excellent job.
Thank you.
So I first want to compliment you for what you did during the campaign. You did well.
Thank you so much.
Yes, so that's the first thing. But the topic is about the young people and politics today. So one thing that I would say that the last government did wrong was not communicating with the young people. And the way to communicate with the young people in this generation is through social media. And if you look and see, you can see the Prime Minister now, who was the opposition leader back then, she had a social media presence.
Mm-hmm.
You saw her all the time.
True.
Never saw our Prime Minister as, like, speaking to the young people. He don't speak to nobody in general. But even at election time, he never had a presence. You never saw him speaking to them, like, trying to appeal to them, saying, this is what we are going to do for you, the youth. Nothing like that. Nothing like that. He didn't speak to them. And then you all spoke about the launch already, so I don't have to go back onto that, because when I tune in the night, and to be quite honest, after Miss Sandy for Ghana Sport, I say, wait, hold this thing going. This don't sound like a launch. This sound like an attack. And then I realized, speaker after speaker, and it turned me off. And then it was on, and it was reading the comments out. You know, the comments coming up, and it was like, this thing is so terrible, and it don't seem like they understood. And I remember after that on the news, the Prime Minister saying that that was just the launch, and we were in her constituency, so we had to deal with her, but we have other issues to deal with throughout the campaign. Mm-hmm. And at no time did they deal with anything different whatsoever. It was the same thing over and over, night after night, that I was so surprised. And I said to myself, not an issue. Yeah, you have them here. Not an issue. One person is an issue, night after night after night. It is ridiculous.